We are journeying through the Gospel of John, emphasizing a new chapter each week. Our companion for today is Lauren Calvin Cook. Lauren is completing her PhD in Youth Ministry Studies at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia.
You're listening to the Kingdom of Growth podcast. For more resources or to subscribe, be sure to check out our website at kingdomofgrowth.com.
This week, as we continue our journey through John, we're going to be looking at John chapter 9, and our conversation partner for the next few weeks is Lauren Calvin Cook. So, Lauren, thank you for talking to us today.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Okay. Well, we're looking here at John chapter 9. This has got the amazing story of the man who was born blind that Jesus heals, and all the conflict that ensues from that, and some pretty deep, penetrating discussion as we see the way they interact with Jesus and this man and his family in light of what has happened to this person. So as we read through chapter 9, Lauren, what would you encourage us to be paying attention to here?
Yeah, I think the first thing that jumps out at me when I'm reading this passage is reading it as a seeing person. And the things that I might not at first glance notice or recognize because of that. And so thinking about this through a kind of a disability hermeneutic, and thinking about the ways that this text and other healing texts in the Bible can be interpreted and can end up being hurtful to people with disabilities. And so that's something that I think about when I come to this text, is wanting to read it carefully and not fall into some of those assumptions, the way that we see Jesus' disciples do here in this passage. I was reading through John with my youth group last year, and one of my students asked the question, if God is, you know, the classic question, if God is all loving and all powerful, then why are people born with disabilities?
You're right.
Another girl in my youth group, whose little brother is severely disabled, answered, because God loves diversity.
Wow.
And I thought that was such a beautiful reframe from thinking about disability as a negative thing to thinking about disability as diversity. That it's not always an inherently a negative thing, but the way that society makes it difficult to fit in for people who have disabilities is the negative thing. And so when I read this text, I think about how being blind doesn't have to be negative or associated with imperfection or anything like that. I read this text from the perspective that in Jesus' day, being blind was a very difficult thing. So we see that this man had had to beg for a living, but that being blind in and of itself isn't inherently negative.
Right.
So that's the first thing that I think about when I look at this text, is just trying to understand that too often healing passages in scripture have been used to talk about how disabilities are imperfections So I think about that and just wanting to be careful in the way that we read or in equating blindness with spiritual failure.
So not just something negative to be overcome, but in fact, there's the possibility of God shaping us in unique and helpful ways because of the struggles that we have or what feels like setbacks that we experience. So looking at all of our life experiences for the potential they have to shape us, not just whether they feel good and make us happy or feel painful and make us upset.
So the second thing that I notice in this is reaching back a couple of weeks to my other conversation on reading John for spiritual formation, is that we see this process of faith throughout this chapter as the man who was born blind progresses in faith. And so we see in the first part of the chapter, once the Pharisees come to question the man for the first time, they ask him who it was who healed him. And he says that he doesn't know. later, he says that it was a prophet, the man called Jesus. And then later, when Jesus himself comes to seek out the man after he's been put out of the synagogue, The man confesses belief in him, that Jesus is the Son of Man, the one who is to come into the world. And so we see sort of this progression of faith as the man who was previously blind comes to these greater and greater stages of spiritual insight.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's an irony of reversal in that the Pharisees become more and more hardened in their ignorance.
Right.
And so the scholar Raymond Brown talks about how there are three times that the man who was blind confesses his ignorance. Mm-hmm. And so that's in verse 12 when he says he doesn't know where this man is. Verse 25, when he says, they claim that Jesus is a sinner, and he says, well, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know.
Right.
And then in 36, when Jesus asks him if he believes in the Son of Man, and he says, who is he? Mm-hmm. And so there's these three moments where the man who was blind says that he doesn't know, even as he is increasing in spiritual knowledge and insight.
Sure.
And there are three matching times when the Pharisees are very confident in their pronouncements as they are becoming more and more hardened in their ignorance. And so in verse 16, where they say, well, this man cannot be from God. Mm-hmm. Verse 24, they say, we know that this man is a sinner. And then again in verse 29, where they say, well, we know that God spoke to Moses, but we don't know where this man is from.
Right.
And so we have these confident pronouncements of like, well, we know this is the case, when, of course, the irony is that they're wrong. And right. This man that Jesus has healed is progressively growing in faith, even as he has humility about what he doesn't know.
Yeah. You know, something that's amazing to me about several of these stories where some of the Jewish leaders will get so upset with what Jesus is doing. I feel like, and sometimes this is something I think we even struggle with in a modern context. Like, it's always a bad thing when you find a way to be unhappy about something that's clearly a good thing. You know, here's mm-hmm. a man who's been blind from birth,
yes.
and they have to find some way to be unhappy about it just because of who did it. That to me is something to always be very careful about, what it is I'm willing to get upset about.
Yes, absolutely. Well, and that makes me think too, one thing that I noticed reading this passage is how, to me, there seems to be this, this tension between the people who are emphasizing sin and Jesus, who is emphasizing healing.
Yeah.
And so when we're first introduced to this man, the disciples' first question is, well, you know, Rabbi, who sinned that mm-hmm. this man should be born blind? Was it him or his parents? And they're trying to have this theological conversation instead of recognizing this human person in front of them.
Yeah.
And they're focused on this idea of sin. And Jesus is not concerned about anyone's sin. He's concerned about the man's healing.
Right.
And then we see it again when the Pharisees question the man, when they say, you know, we know this man is a sinner. And he responds, well, I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but all I know is that he opened my eyes.
Yeah.
And so here again, like, the focus is not on sin, but on healing. And so like you just said, I think that we're so easy to focus on what we don't like than mm-hmm. on the good work that God is doing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So where these people see the law, Jesus sees a person. It's not about legalism for Jesus, but about living fully and
right.
How he can help people live fully into the lives that God wants for them.
Yeah.
And so I think we see here that healing and welcome and acceptance are fruits of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think we can be so judgmental of others that we fail to see the work of God, and we miss out on this huge opportunity to see what God is doing in us, in others, and in the world, because we're so focused on whether people are doing things the right way.
Yeah.
And then the final thing that I want to point out in this chapter is that when the Pharisees put this man out of the synagogue, essentially excommunicate him, Jesus then goes and seeks him out and mm-hmm. finds him to have another conversation with him. And so I think that says something really powerful about the way that Jesus seeks out the marginalized, seeks out those who have lost their spiritual home. Mm-hmm. And I think about that when I think about people who have been disenfranchised from church and religion
right.
and the painful experience that that can be, but that they're not alone, that mm-hmm. Jesus specifically goes out and seeks out those who have been marginalized by others. And I just find such comfort in that, that Jesus is with people in their marginalization, mm-hmm. that Jesus hangs out on the outskirts of society with the people who've been excluded and ostracized. And I just find a lot of hope and healing in that.
Yeah. So there's not a dark or distant place you can go that is outside the scope of his love and redemption.
Hey, that kind of sounds like Paul.
There you go. Very good. Well, hey, Lauren, thank you so much for sharing these thoughts on John chapter 9. And next week, we look forward to talking to you about John chapter 10.
Sounds great. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Kingdom of Growth podcast. For more resources about Christian life and leadership, or if you'd like to subscribe, be sure to check out our website, kingdomupgrowth.com.